I'm going to put a hold on 1 John, and I'm going to give a topical subject on attack on America. I'm going to use this. So even when you witness to a person, before you do, you will have a kind of a background, a little knowledge on attack and on America. And we know that everybody was taken surprise. I think it was like around almost 6 o'clock when we heard on the news. I was at work. That a plane crashed into the Twin Towers. And so that could have happened, but whoever thought that it was another plane came and it was a terrorist attack. Whoever thought, whoever imagined that it's going to be like this. And even the FBI, the CIA, the most, we have all the, we have so much intelligence in this country, so much technology, and we know almost everything, but here we missed. And thousands of people perished within minutes. That's why James chapter 4, verse 4, that we need to take this into heart, as it says. Whereas you know, let's turn to James 4, 14. James chapter 4, 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. I guess everybody who was in the airplane, everybody who were in the buildings, they had something in mind for tomorrow. They had something in mind for the future. And they had plans. Nobody ever knew that day they were going to die. And this is the young and the old and everybody. And a lot of times when kids, we say, oh, we think about God when we become old. Children died in the airplane. Children died in the building. And here we are. Here James gives this. The word of God says, then it says, verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Jesus said, take one day at a time. Just one day at a time. Because we do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You can cross-reference that to Psalm 39, verse 5 and 6. Just to let you know that, of course, we know the United States of America is the richest country in the world. It's the most advanced nation. But yet, as I told you, we were taken by surprise by a terrorist attack. Of course, it was just an ordinary day. When people were eating, they were drinking, they were working, and they were traveling and doing their business. Suddenly, in a moment, two passenger aircraft crashed into the World Trade Center, killing all the passengers instantly, bringing down the giant structure in a blast of fire. And we saw how it came down. Of course, then we saw another plane, aircraft, crash into the Pentagon. Whoever thought it's going to be the Pentagon, out of all the places, security, killing all the passengers and instantly killing about 100 or more than 100 workers at the Pentagon building. You know, it took 16 years, around 16 years, to complete the Twin Towers. And it is constructed with massive glass and steel, you know, sculptures. and there are 110 floors each. There are 43,000 windows, 99 elevators, and 1,350 feet tall with 1,200 businesses. We don't have a building like this here. In Los Angeles, we don't have. It's a massive structure. But it took only minutes to bring this gigantic structures down. Just minutes, it's down. And thousands of people were killed. They were crushed to death by fire in a moment. Death came unexpectedly. Death came suddenly and viciously. And something we need to understand. We may live in comfort now. It looks like more like a movie for us, watching the TV. It looks like a movie for us, but it is not a movie. It's a real thing. That's why it's so important that we need to see where we stand before God. Of course, in this time of trouble, we need to pray. The most important thing is when this happens, we need to pray for the president. We need to pray for the nation. And last Friday, we had a prayer, National Day of Prayer. You know, so we need to lift them up because they are going to make some very decisive, very important decisions. And the whole country, a lot of things are going to change. Even our lifestyle is going to be changed. It's going to be changed. It's not going to be the same anymore. That's why we need to, Romans 13:1, you don't have to turn with me, it says that let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 1 says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 2, 1 says, therefore I exhort first for all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We need to pray for the president, for the country, for the nation. Now I'll tell you something. We are a country who have been living in peace. We have no experience in such a thing like this. We are a country who have been living in prosperity, in luxury. But I'll tell you, instead of giving thanks to God for what He has given us, we have forgotten God. This is a nation, it's America is a post-Christian nation. Put it correctly. It's a post-Christian nation. We have forgotten God. When there is a calamity like this, when there is mourning, when thousands perished in a moment, that's the time people remember God. That's the time they think of God. That's the time everybody wants to go to church. And you can see on TV how many people are flocked in the church. That's the time the nation mourns and the nation prays. And you can see how this nation has forgotten God. We have been blessed more than any other nation in the world. I myself come from a third world country and I have been to third world countries and I know how people live. But we have taken everything for granted. When we compare to the other countries, we have an abundance of food. Yet, we murmur. We grumble. And we waste a lot of food. You know that? People don't like to eat the leftovers. Why? I want something different. I want, you know, we can cook something else because we have money to buy. We, you know, leftovers. You know, I want something different than yesterday. Because we have money. We have more. We have an option. We have a choice. Where other countries, people don't have leftovers. Jesus, if you remember, when he made that miracle with the fish and the bread, even the crumbs, he told people to collect the crumbs, the leftovers. And here, in this country, I'm talking to the Christians first. The judgment begins in the house of the Lord. People don't like to eat leftovers. Being preaching this myself, I have disciplined myself to eat the leftovers. I cook food for 1 week and I eat that. My wife will tell you that. Because I see how people are hungry in other nations. But I see at the same time, people, here is a country, if they are living in sin, that's a sin. If you are throwing food, that's a sin. If you don't want to eat leftovers, that's a sin. And a lot of times we look for the big sins. And a lot of times we see the little ones that is very important for our Christian life. Because people are starving. In India, do you know, in Calcutta, they take a cart every day down the street to pick up the dead because they are starvation of food. I know one of my friends, when I was in Sri Lanka, I was probably about 11, 12 years of age. And we play a lot of cricket there instead of baseball. And our team, Sri Lankan team, went to India to play cricket. And one of the people who went, one of the boys who went, he's from our school. And he came and told that when he was eating a banana at the railway station, a lot of kids came and flocked around him. He was just eating a banana. And he gave to them. And then still a lot of kids around him. Why? They want to eat the banana, banana peel. You know, the skin of the banana they want to eat. That's how much they're starving. And here we have abundance of food. And we are throwing it away. You know why God judged Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they had plenty and they didn't help the poor. And here, that's one thing. I mean, we have been blessed and yet we murmur and grumble. Remember the children of Israel when God wanted to test their faith and they were put in the wilderness. And what did they say? In Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. Journeyed from Elim, Exodus, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. Then verse 2 says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then verse 8, 16:8, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you have made against him. So your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. So when you next time, when you murmur, and grumble about food that is on the table. You don't have things in the refrigerator to eat, only the leftovers. That's a sin against God. Directly, it is a sin. We have a place to live. Everybody here have a home to live. They have a house to live. Compared to the other nations, they don't have a place to live like how we do. You have a nice bed to sleep. And I know, I slept in the Philippines, in the poor areas, in the mountains. They don't have a mattress. They have little bamboo sticks. And that's where they sleep. And they don't grumble. But we have a place to stay. But we don't give thanks to God. Hey, we got clothes to wear. We got clothes. We got name brand clothes to wear. Yet we say, oh, I wore this the other day. This is getting a little old. I need something new. And we just throw clothes, yard sales every time. And we got to, a lot of times we got to stay with the Joneses, you know. Everybody is wearing that type of clothes. No, I want to wear that. On the other hand, people don't have even clothes to wear. They don't have clothes to cover their nakedness. And here, we are spoiled. We have sinned against God. And God is going to shake up this nation. Either we will repent of our sin, or we will perish. And here we are. We got so much material things, but we lust for more and more and more. We are not satisfied what we have. We are not content what we have. We want more and more and more. We lust. This is a greediness that we have in this nation. We are greedy. We are covetous. And yet, all what we have, we don't give thanks to God. We have Bibles more than any other nation. You know that? We have Bibles more than any other nation. There are people in other nations, they don't have a Bible. They are starving for the Word of God. They are crying for the Word of God. One Bible can be shared with so many 50, 60 people in China. But we got Bibles. One person have about 2-3 Bibles. And we bought so much Bibles. We have Bible bookstores, everything, churches, every corner. Yet, we do not study the Word of God. We do not read the Word of God. We say, I don't have time to read. Because we have so much in abundance, so much in excess, we don't have even time to read in other people. In other countries, they are flocking, they are fighting to read the Word of God. We don't study. We don't read. Is it sin or not? Yet, instead of reading the Word of God, we are more concerned about our health. For that we have time. I mean, we take the health foods, we are so concerned on what we eat. We read the back of it and say, this is good for me, you know. And you go to the store to buy those healthy foods. You take vitamins, you have all kinds of creams for your face, you know. And you do all those things and you spend time, energy, money, getting all that stuff. And then we go to the gym, you know, we want to look good. And we wear good clothes. But when it comes to spiritual things, we live a life of kind of careless lifestyle when it comes to spiritual things. Where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But men live a careless, loose lifestyle apart from the Word of God. They take care so much of their bodies, but not their soul. But yet, they know that life can end up in any time. But still, they go on sinning. They neglect the Word of God. I repeat this. Charles Spurgeon said, there is dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers. you know what, sometimes we hear it over and over again, doesn't convict us. Same thing, I'm hearing that. You know, that's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. You know, in this country, in this nation, before 1925, creationism was taught in every American school. But today, evolution has replaced creationism. We kill so many unborn babies. There's immoral sex. It's not in the closet anymore, it is open. Homosexuality, sodomy, lesbianism has become a way of lifestyle now. It's not a sin anymore, it's a way of lifestyle. And there are children raped by men, incest, and goes on and on. There's violence where we have never seen before. There's profanity promoted through television and movies. So much illicit sex. And there's music industry. They promote this satanic music. And there's so much drugs involved. Murder. Students killing teachers. When did you hear that? Children killing parents. And parents killing children. The land is, this land is filled with sin. Yet we say we are a Christian nation as if we think that nothing is wrong here until God comes and shakes us up. You think that God cannot see? You know what? United States, America, now we are in financially, we are in a crisis. We were in a crisis, how much more now? And of course, in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Isaiah, we see when Israel was in a state of sin, they were forgetting God. They were going their own way. The prophets came and preached. They took it from this year and from the other year, it went away. They didn't want to listen to the prophets. They wanted to listen to the false prophets who were saying, peace, peace. If you remember, God told Jeremiah to go and preach not in the temple but in the parking lot, because the people, the Israelites, were saying, well, you know, they trusted in the church so much, and God said, go and preach in the parking lot of the judgment that is going to come. They didn't believe. They killed the prophets. They persecuted the prophets. And here we are today. We are continuing in sin. We are compromising. But I'll tell you, now, God has brought judgment. And it's a new enemy. And this enemy hides in shadows. This enemy is an invisible enemy. That's terrorism. It's an enemy that can be under our own nose. It's an enemy with all our technical knowledge. We may not be able to detect the enemy. America is very proud of its military power. America is so proud of its wealth and prosperity. God brought an enemy that you won't be able to detect. Enemy that can bring disaster, will try to destroy the foundations of this nation. And then we ask, how can this happen? Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. So, we have sown sin, wickedness in this nation, and we got to, and that's what we have sown, and we are going to reap. Sin is a cheat. Sin is a deceiver. Sin is a destroyer. It promises pleasure, but you had to pay off in pain. It promises life, but you had to pay off in death. It promises a profit, but you had to pay off in poverty. Every sin that commits is profit for your flesh, for your, you know, you're trying to make a profit for that. Greediness. Now, that is on the whole, for the whole nation. Now I'm going to go a little bit further. There is sins in the church. There's sins in the church. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23:10, of Israel, they have backslidden. Jeremiah 23:10. It says here, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23:11. What did I say? 10? Oh, okay. 11. Actually, 10, starting from 10. It says here, for the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. The function of the church is to exalt the Lord God in worship, in doctrine, and in service. That is the function of the church. The church is a light to the world. The church is a guidance to the nation. The church is there to protect us from false doctrine that is coming in. And the church is there to expose these false doctrines. The church is there to preach sin so we will not sin against God. By exposing the law of God, so the sinner, he will be ripped off of his righteousness and convicted of his sins and show the grace of God through Christ Jesus. The church is there to help the poor. The money that comes into the church, part of that money should go to the poor, to help the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, and visit the sick. But unfortunately, the church has not done these things. Majority of the churches, they have not done these things. And the church has departed from the ways of the Lord. Today, the majority of the churches are concerned more about their buildings than souls. I mean, they have so much beautiful buildings and all the money that comes into the church, instead of feeding the poor, clothing them, goes to the building funds. And instead of preaching the gospel, the money that comes, instead of preaching the gospel, the ministers of the church, they live in comfort. They live in luxury. They always ask for money from the people. Yes, they are greedy for money. They use the Bible to gain a profit. They use the Bible to gain wealth. They use the word of God to get rich. You look the houses they live, you see the airplanes they go on, and see the cars they drive, and see their lifestyle. It goes along with Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 3. Ezekiel 34:3. Starting from verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. He didn't say prophesy against the people. Here, God is telling, prophesy against the ministers, against the pastors. And say to them, thus says the Lord of God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Isn't it? For money, and they are getting rich, and the people are getting poor. They don't feed the word of God. They use the word of God to gain themselves. On the other hand, Jesus, who being God, He came in flesh and He did not live in wealth or in luxury, but He set an example for us to follow. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And here it says that he himself had no reputation. But today, the pastors, the ministers, they want reputation. People are looking to the pastors, the ministers. They have been deceived. They have been deceived. But I'll tell you, on the other hand, we see Jesus' example and also the examples of the apostles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, for neither at any time did we use flattering words. Do you hear flattering words today of the preachers for your money? Of course you do. As you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is our witness. They were not greedy. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. They said, hey, we could have made demands because we were apostles. But we did. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children so affectionately, longing for you. We were well pleased to impart you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you have become dear to us. Hey, not only you give the gospel, the word of God, you got to show your life as well, as a Christian. The sins of the church, it's even more. As we see today, there's an ecumenical movement in the church. Ecumenical movement means we all are brothers and sisters, no matter what denomination, what religion. We all have one God. So it's just like going to a restaurant and going to a buffet and picking what food you like. Somebody said, you can blindfold yourself and go to an elephant and you can touch the tail of the elephant. Somebody might touch the trunk, somebody might touch the leg. You can say, oh, I touched this tail, the other one, this is a trunk. But it's the same elephant. As the examples they give. I tell you, there's so much apostasy in the church today. The true Christian prophets in the Old Testament, they were persecuted for telling the truth, for telling what sin is. They were persecuted. The job of the prophet in the Old Testament is to reveal the will of God to the people. That is the job of the prophet. And people didn't want to hear the will of God because they wanted to do their own will. And so, we see the false prophet, they wanted to hear. But the judgment came. The judgment came to Israel. And they were massacred when Nebuchadnezzar came and totally destroyed. Remember, Belshazzar was nicely drinking and eating and having a party. Suddenly, handwriting on the wall appeared. And God said, today you're going to die. And whoever thought that this Persians, I mean, whoever thought Medes would be able to come and destroy. But it happened. And in the New Testament, the early church was heavily persecuted. There was global persecution in the church. If you're a Christian, you are hunted. They hunt you, to persecute you, and to kill you. But when Constantine, the Roman emperor, embraced so-called Christianity, the persecution stopped. Before, the church was called the Catholic Church. The word Catholic in Latin, it means the universal church. It means the church didn't have Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever like that. They're just Christians. They were scattered all over. But when Constantine embraced the church, it became from Rome, it became the Roman Emperor, it became the Roman Catholic Church. Then he brought all these idols into the church. The heathenistic things were brought into the church. And today there are, you know, you even see the, how the Pope today trying to embrace all religions. But especially after this attack on America, when the buildings were just perished, when all these people perished, suddenly everybody started to go to church, and you can see the priests and the prime ministers, the Muslim person, and everybody, all are joined together. And I heard on TV religious leaders they are saying that we are all, whether we are Christians, Jews, Islam, Buddhists, we have the same God. I'll tell you. And many Christians, they believe this because they don't read the Word of God. The Word of God says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and nobody can come to the Father except by me. Jesus is saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door to God. It's not through Buddha, it's not through Muhammad, it's not through Joseph Smith. Jesus is the way. Either Jesus is telling a lie or he's telling the truth. And I would believe in Jesus. I would trust in Jesus because Jesus was sinless. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. And Jesus was sinless. He rose from the dead. I would trust in Jesus and let God be true and every man a liar. And we should not deny the name of Jesus, nor his word. Revelation 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, that no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We need to keep his word. So there is another gospel in the church. This is a counterfeit gospel. Apostle Paul said, Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye so soon removed from him that you call you, that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Yes, the terrorist attack, it united America as a nation. And it is good. But that does not mean that we are united, believing all religions reconciled together as one faith. That does not mean that. We also need to be careful that we should not harass and attack physically whoever who looks like a Muslim. Because our goal, our purpose is to take the gospel to all religions, to all nations. Now, in closing, what happened On that day, on September 11th, when this tower crashed and so many thousands of people died, they were killed. A similar incident happened during the time of Jesus. But it happened in a very small scale. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 13, starting from verse 4. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I'll tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Here there was a tower. This is where the in Siloam there was a pool where, if you remember in the book of John, talks about when there is a little stir in the water, they think it's an angel, and people try to get into that water so they will be healed. And there's a tower here. This tower fell, and there were some people who died. About 18 people were killed, and they were buried. And Jesus is giving a warning. This is an awakening call, a warning. He said, he got to the point. Those people who died in this building, are they really bad sinners? Is that why God brought this judgment? That's the question. Now, men's bodies perish daily. People die in accidents. And there are so many unexpected deaths. But perishing, everybody perish daily as they die in accidents. And here, we cannot tell, because they perish in such a way, they are bad sinners. Jesus is saying, the most important point is you. What about you? He's saying the most important thing is unless you perish, unless you repent, you will also perish. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, Jesus said, fear not them that which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. So thing is, I'm sure there were some Christians there. The main thing is not to fear how your body is being perished, but to fear the one who can destroy your soul in hell. That's the main thing. Anybody can die in different ways. Some people die, naturally they die. Some people die just, in different ways. In accidents, some people die, all kinds of, sometimes in a very extremely bad, dangerous ways, you can die. The people who died, they didn't turn into ashes instantly. So anybody can die anyway. That death is not the most important thing. What Jesus is talking about your soul. Unless you repent, you will perish also. He's talking about perishing in eternal hell. That's the most important thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, I believe God. The demons believe in God too. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Believing God doesn't make you go to heaven. Demons believe, but there is no repentance. See? Unless you repent, you will perish also. You need to repent. Repentance is what is needed. Otherwise, you will have a demonic faith. Repentance is to leave the sins what you loved before. That is repentance. To leave the sins what you loved before, and faith is to turn to God. And you should show grief towards sin. Just like the tax collector. How the tax collector, he bare his body and said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. It's a grieving of sin. It's a sorrow of sin. And don't say, I will repent tomorrow. Some of the people who heard the gospel, they didn't get a chance of repenting tomorrow. They didn't get a chance of repenting tomorrow. That's why we need to go back. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, we cannot plan. Tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow comes, tomorrow goes. But still, people don't repent. Their lifestyle remains the same. Then comes the judgment, suddenly, it's too late. It's too late. Once you hear the gospel, how can you escape the fires of hell? Do not postpone it. But we need to come to God as beggars, through Christ alone, in His righteousness alone, asking for mercy, and He will cleanse our sins. You know what? If you remember, Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. See that? Satan wants your soul. He wants your soul and he wants to sift you as wheat. Like a powder. He wants to grind you like a powder. Verse 32, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. You know what? If you are in Christ, Satan wants your soul, but if you are in Christ, He is our great priest who intercedes for us. If you are in Christ, you are protected in your salvation. Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So for the Christian, death is not a loss but a profit. Because what's the profit? You're going to be in heaven. That's the greatest profit you can get. It's not a loss. It's a gain. And we see the funerals. We see how all those people who died. We see very clearly, we see death. And we know that one day we are going to die too. But we don't know how. But one day, in a matter of, we don't know what time, everybody in this room is going to die. But if we are going to die, we need to meditate on heavenly things. Because if heaven is our country, if heaven is our citizenship, if heaven is our home, then what can this earth be? What is the earth then? The departure of this world to the Christian is to enter to true eternal life. This earth is just an exile to heaven. It's a place of exile to heaven for the Christian. So death is gain for the Christian, is not a loss but a profit. But for the unbeliever, when he dies, he leaves everything on this world that he craved, he greed, you know, all the things that he bought, the greediness, everything, your gold, the wealth, and everything is gone. Because he put all his time, energy, and labor for the earthly things. He didn't have time for the word of God. So for the unbeliever, the death is a loss. Loss, in a sense, not only a loss, it's an eternal loss. Not only that, he go to hell. Going to hell. And this is a wake-up call to America. It's a wake-up call to the lazy Christians. It's a wake-up call to people who say they are Christians. And wake-up call to, you know, us who do a lot of waste. It's a wake-up call that we need to wake up, I'll tell you. President Bush said he's going to take terrorism totally away. He's going to uproot this terrorism altogether. But I'll tell you, terrorism has been there for a long time. It has been there for a long time, and nobody has ever could do it. But we trust in our armies, we trust in our security, we trust in our technology, in our wealth. But I tell you, terrorism is not easy to root it out. It's not easy, because it's an enemy you don't see. It's a network. They can be in Afghanistan, they can be in Egypt, they can be anywhere, and they can be in the United States. They're already here. They're already here. And they can be here. And we cannot stop it. It's here. It's already happened. And who knows if this will flare up into a jihad war. You know what is a jihad war? That means there are Muslims who are against terrorism, like Saudi Arabia and other parts of the Middle East, like Pakistan and the countries. They are against terrorism. They will condemn terrorism. Then there are radical Muslims. They are called jihad. They take the Quran literally. These radical Christians, if you kill a Muslim brother, we are going to come against you. They are radical Muslims. Then it becomes a holy war between Islam and America. Then it becomes like that. Then all the other nations might join against America. If it flares up to be a jihad war, you know, or holy war, it's going to be very dangerous. It's something, if terrorism has entered this country, and it can happen anywhere. Today, it can happen in Los Angeles, where you work, wherever you are, it can happen. They can take revenge, but we don't know. But this is something for us as Christians. We have lived in luxuries too long. We have slept too long in laziness. It's time to be awake and to be a true Christian and to walk according to the calling, what God has called us. I'll tell you, there are countries in other countries, in Africa, Christians in China, Africa, India. I tell you, those people are living in poverty, but with the Bible, and they go and preach, they do the service of God. They are not lazy Christians. They are hungry for the Word of God. Here we must so much materials for Christianity, books, concordance, dictionaries, you call anything, we got everything. But when it comes to the lifestyle, tell you, we live in sin. God has to shake up this country. He has to shake up the country. He has to shake the church. He has to shake the boat. It's rocking the boat. So we will wake up and we will be called. We will be awakened for the true calling, what God has called us. Let's pray. Have sinned against you, Lord. And we have walked in our own way, Lord. We have used our brain, our minds, our thoughts, and all the things that you have given us to sin. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. We ask, Lord, that you would convict us, that the little things that we think they are not sins anymore. Just like the Israelites, they were so much deceived. God cannot be mocked. We pray and ask, Lord, that you would show us those things and bring us to the surface, that we would repent of those things, that we would not sin against you, Lord. Father, we know, Lord, if there is judgment, it is good that will purify the church, that will bring purity to the church. The goal has to be put into the fire and test, and all those filthy things will go away, will be burnt, but the pure gold will remain. So, Father, you bring these judgments, the persecutions, the hardships, the trials are good, because that will purify us, that will sanctify us, that will make us, that will separate the sheep and the goats. We pray and ask, God, that we would become more stronger in these times, Lord. That we would be strengthened, Lord, by your Spirit. That we would grow in your grace and be conformed to your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's